You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. What does a mysterious Cash App ransom note tell us about a missing Texas beauty? Tonight, where is Kelly? I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us.
We're asking any residents in the city of Baytown in the Houston area to check their properties, outbuildings, and any surveillance footage from the days around her disappearance. Any detail could provide critical information to help us bring her home and locate her.
That from our friends at KPRC2 Houston. Kelly's family is desperate for your help. Let me just give you the tip line right off the top. 786-509-7135. Repeat, 786-509-7135. Everyone, thank you for being with us tonight. Joining us is Kelly's mother. First of all, straight out to Kelly's mother, Casey Richardson. Ms. Richardson, thank you for being with us. I've just got to ask you right off the top, how do you put one foot in front of the other with your baby missing? I call her your baby. I know she's a grown, a beautiful, lovely young woman, but how are you doing it?
I have a autistic child I'm raising. Two of them are in elementary. One of them is in three girls that I'm raising still. And that is what's keeping me going. I don't have a choice. These babies I have to raise.
When did you first realize Kelly is missing?
April the 22nd.
What happened, Ms. Richardson?
It was about 11-something a.m., and I got a phone call from a unknown number that I didn't recognize. And I picked it up, and all I could hear was a man yelling over and over and over, "I want my effing money. I want my effing money." And I was like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, what's going on?" And he's like, "No, she effing stole from me. I want my effing money." And I said, "Wait, wait, who? What's going on?" Like, and then Kelly is in the background going, "Mama, please help me. My face is so disformed, Mama, please." And I can hear them in the background. And every time she cries, she gets pistol whipped.
How do you, what makes you think she was being pistol whipped in the background?
Because the guy in the other background, and the other guy in the background was like, "That's enough, man. That's enough. You know, no more." And every time she got hit, I could hear her screaming.
Kelly Goodwin. A beautiful young girl, her whole world in front of her has seemingly vanished off the face of the earth. And then this disturbing phone call to her mother, Casey, joining us now. Joining me, an all-star panel in addition to Kelly's mom, straight out to Lauren Conlon joining us, investigative reporter. You can find her at popcrime.tv. Lauren, thank you for being with us. I want to take this from A to Z, starting at the beginning. Tell me what happened at the onset, Lauren.
Yes, so Kelly was last seen being picked up by an unknown person at her apartment in Baytown. And this was 21st, 2024. She told a friend that she was going to visit a friend in Houston. And now we know that she subsequently went missing after her mother received this phone call.
The day after Kelly heads to Houston, Mom Casey Richardson gets a call from an unknown number. When she picks up, a man says he has Kelly and he'll hurt her unless Casey pays him $500, an amount he claims Kelly stole from his car. In the background, Casey can hear Kelly crying and screaming for help. Then she hears her daughter get hit with something metal. Kelly cries out, "Help me, Mom. They're beating me. My face is so deformed."
Ms. Richardson, are you convinced that your daughter was truly being beaten? A lot of people are arguing, with which I disagree, I might add. Your daughter has no history of scamming, of hoaxing, nothing. And from what I understand, her screams were real. Describe again for me what you heard on that call.
A mother knows their child's scare voice and scare cry. At the end of the day, you can't fake that scare and that cry. A mother knows.
And we learn more about this cash demand. Listen.
Casey can hear someone continuing to hit Kaylee, and eventually the caller tells them to stop. The caller tells Casey to send the money to a Cash App account, 1007 Owens. But until they receive the transfer, they will continue to hurt Kaylee. When they hang up, Casey frantically tries to call Kaylee, but she isn't picking up the phone.
Miss Richardson, what went through your mind at the end of that hang up?
I immediately called my husband. He walked off the site of his job 25 minutes away without saying anything. He came straight home, then we went straight to the police station.
Tell me, how much were they asking for when they were beating your daughter?
This conversation went on for a good 9 minutes. So I, at first, was like, look, just calm down. And I tried to, you know, play the mama bear with him, you know, like, I understand, you know, and I tried to compromise with him and I'm like, just calm down. And then I realized this wasn't a joke. And I said, please, I will get you the money. Just stop hurting her. I beg you, please stop hurting her.
Straight out to Brian Fitzgibbons joining us, Director Operations, USPA Nationwide Security, specializing in locating missing people. He has served in Iraq and beyond. Brian, thank you for being with us. Doesn't any idiot know that Cash App is traceable?
Yeah, this was certainly perplexing, Nancy, that the demand was made to send a certain amount of $600 to a specific Cash App. So it speaks to the mental state of Kaylee's captor. You know, right away. Absolutely.
But on the other hand, to Wendy Patrick joining us, California prosecutor, founder of Black Swan Verdicts, and author of Why Bad Looks Good and many more. Wendy, just like you can set up a fake email, you can get a fake phone. You know, you can have an alternate cell phone number, untraceable, well, for most purposes, untraceable back to you. You can also set up a fake Cash App account. So it can't be done.
It's easy to be done. And Nancy, that's one of the reasons we need much more than simply tracing a current phone, whether it's a burner phone, whether it's a current Cash App. But one of the things that you also want to look at is all the evidence surrounding the use of the device. That would include geolocation if you can get it. That would include voice, time of day, sounds in the background, accent. So there's so much more available to look at than simply the use of a device, because you're right, that's a dime a dozen. You buy it at the store and then you throw it in a trash can somewhere. But it's just one good place to start when you're starting at the beginning of an investigation.
You know, Karen Stark with me, renowned psychologist, radio, TV, trauma expert. She's at KarenStark.com. Karen, I find it very peculiar. Of course, I don't understand the cause of crime, generally speaking, including especially violent crime. But to go to all of this for $600, to kidnap someone, beat them, call her mother, put her mother in H-E-double-L for $600, and then you use a Cash App account, which is easily traceable, unless you've gone to the time and difficulty of creating a false Cash App under somebody else's name, going to a fake phone number, going to a fake email. That's a lot of effort for $600.
I don't think it's about the $600, Nancy, and I don't think anyone else does. This is about somebody who enjoys doing what he's doing. He's a sociopath. He's a narcissist. He wants to inflict pain. He doesn't have feelings. He has no emotions. So actually, he gets enjoyment from the fact, and I'm sorry to her mom, but he does get enjoyment from people suffering, or he wouldn't be violent. He's out of control, and that's his personality. And we need to understand that this is something that has nothing to do with money, and has everything to do with him wanting to inflict pain.
It wouldn't be the first time that a ransom or a kidnap was really masquerading, that it was actually something much more sinister. Do I need to bring up the name JonBenet Ramsey? In the JonBenet Ramsey case, the amount of the ransom in itself was peculiar, much as in the case in chief of Keeley. It was $118,000, a very peculiar amount for a kidnapper to ask for. Of course, the ransom and the amount, oh, that was all a lie. And it covered for a murder. JonBenet was not taken from the home. She was killed in the home. And the so-called kidnapper felt perfectly at ease sitting in the home writing not only a ransom note, but a practice ransom note. What does that mean in this case? The case we're talking about today, the case of Keeley Goodwin. To you, Brian Fitzgibbons, following up on what Karen Stark just said about the ransom being bogus, the $600, it's a crazy amount to go through all of that for $600 to beat Keeley, to call her mother and inflict pain, emotional pain on her mother for $600. Really? So what would be the genesis? What would be the motive of this?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense, Nancy. $600 is a wild amount of money to be demanding ransom from somebody's mother. You know, we have to be thinking at this moment of, you know, telling this story that the person who's perpetrating this is not mentally stable in the slightest, that her captor is not stable 100%.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Keeley Brooke Goodwin, age 29, lives in Baytown, Texas, a suburb of Houston. She's a beloved granddaughter, daughter, sister, and dog mom to Pomeranian Tinkerbell. Keeley is close with her mom, Casey Richardson, and is known as a great friend with a sweet soul and a brilliant smile.
But when mom calls Ellie law enforcement, she is highly disappointed and deeply agitated by what they say. Listen.
Unsure what to do, Casey calls Baytown police and gives them every detail of the call. However, officers are not convinced Keeley is in real danger. They ask Casey if Keeley is low on cash or using drugs. And while Casey denies both theories, officers still believe Keeley might be trying to scam her for money and tell her the ransom phone call is likely an elaborate hoax. Casey continues trying to get in touch with her daughter, but with no luck, reports Keeley missing the next day.
Man, I would be lying on the police station front steps screaming if they tried to tell me, oh yeah, your little girl's not missing. She's probably high on drugs. She's probably with her boyfriend. She's probably trying to scam you. That's total BS. To Casey Richardson, this is Keeley's mom. What happened when you tried to report her missing?
I went to the police station with my husband. I didn't call him. We went up there. And I went in there and I said, look, this is what's happening. Something is wrong. I need help. And the lady behind the desk said, look, we've had a lot of scams go around. You know, it's probably a scam. You know, I hate to tell you, you know. And I'm like, listen, if something happens to my daughter, I want something saying I was here. So then she goes behind the desk and gets a woman police officer in their uniform. And so then she walks out and hands me a card and gives me the same thing. You know, we've had a lot of scams. And, you know, if your daughter's on drugs or, you know, if she's doing something shady, she's trying to scam you. And I hate to tell you that. So thinking that I needed to wait 24 hours to do a missing persons, I should have figured it out. It's not 24 hours. You do not have to wait 24 hours. I didn't know that. I went back up there with my husband the next day to the station. And I said, I'm here to do a missing persons report. And she acted like she didn't want to take it. And she started asking questions and she said, location. And I said, excuse me? And she said, I need location or I can't do the report. I said, is this a joke? If I knew the location, I wouldn't be reporting her as a missing person. Well, there's, ma'am, I can't do nothing without a location. So I marched out of there with my husband. I'm crying. I'm getting on the phone with my lawyer. And he said, no, you march right back in there and you give her her address. And I did. And she took the report. It took a long time with an attitude. And
who is this person? Do you have the person's name? Because they need to be fired.
Yeah. This is right in the middle of the whole police station getting moved to a brand new 3-story. So everything is in chaos. They're moving the court to this 3 building, the forensics, the everything. So everything isn't just disarray.
Let me ask you, was the police officer suggesting that Kelly herself was scamming you or someone was pretending to be Kelly? Because that actually is a scam where someone pretends to be your child and they go, oh, I've been in a car accident or I've got a DUI and I don't want to tell my family. Can you please send me $500? That actually is a real scam. And I've investigated it and interviewed victims that were scammed. Were they telling you that or that Kelly herself was trying to jip you out of money?
Yeah, Kelly herself was trying to get me out of money.
How would they know that? They don't know Kelly.
It took a week and a half before a detective even got a hold of me.
To Wendy Patrick, a veteran prosecutor and founder of Black Swan Verdicts, also author. Wendy, how many times have we covered cases and investigated them ourselves where police and sheriffs say, oh, she'll be back. She's out. You can fill in the blank with her boyfriend. That's what they said about Stacey Peterson. She's been missing how many years now? You can fill in the blank. She's out doing drugs. She's with her boyfriend. She's just taking a breather. She's trying to scam you. Why? That's not their decision to make, Wendy Patrick.
You're right. We've covered plenty of cases like this where, you know, investigation is an evidence-based process. And that is true whether or not you're investigating the substance of the tip or whether you're investigating the credibility of the tip. And without any evidence that there's a nefarious purpose behind the request, behind the report, in this case, behind what Kaylee's mom is saying, what Casey is expressing to the police, without any evidence to doubt it, you would expect that that would have moved forward. Instead, now finding evidence of who did it, the perpetrator, the motive, and everything else that's involved in an investigation. Now, that's not to say there might be some cases in some jurisdictions that come in with evidence of credibility issues, but there's no evidence to believe that was true here, and that's what's important.
Where is a Texas beauty? Kelly Goodwin goes missing. This after her mother gets a horrific phone call where she hears Kelly being beaten, screaming, crying. Then she hears an unknown male demand $600 be sent to a cash app. Since then, no indication of Kelly's whereabouts. But we do now have a sliver of evidence, a gray sedan. Listen.
Now officially considered a missing person, Baytown police confirmed with Kaylee's friend that she last saw Kelly getting into a gray sedan around 7 p.m. outside her apartment in the 3100 block of Decker Drive. The friend tells detectives Kelly said she was going to South Houston. Meanwhile, officers worked to find the owner of the Cash App account the ransom caller provided. Finding the owner is a Danielle Owens.
So the guy demanding money is not the one registered to that Cash App account. That person would be a mysterious Danielle Owens. But we're learning more. Listen.
Kaylee Goodwin wraps up a conversation with a friend, letting her know that she's planning to stay in Houston for a few days, looking forward to spending a few days in the city. Country arrives to pick up Kaylee around 7 o'clock, so her friend says her goodbyes as she watches Kaylee get in the passenger seat of a gray sedan.
Now, when you hear the reporter with CrimeOnline.com state Country, that's actually a guy's nickname, his moniker, his street name. He goes by the name Country. Okay, first things first, to Lauren Conlon joining us, investigative reporter. Lauren, Danielle Owens. That is what I want to hear first. Who is Danielle Owens, who actually owns or is registered to the Cash App?
Danielle Owens is actually dating this Country character. And when investigators began looking into Kaylee's disappearance and the Chevy Malibu that she got into, the sedan that night, they put two and two together. Danielle Owens was the owner of this vehicle and also the owner of this Cash App account.
To Wendy Patrick joining me, California prosecutor and author. Wendy, I'm sure you have heard of the so-called People Court mom, Michelle Parker. She goes missing after she drops her children off, her two children off with her ex. The last clue we've got for her is finding her vehicle parked in an apartment complex. Why was it easy to find her vehicle? Her vehicle had a company that she started emblazoned on the side, right, in pink letters. So cops were looking for that vehicle. So often we trace people and crack cases based on vehicles. Here's another example. Brian Koberger, who is yet to be proven guilty, but his white Elantra was spotted by a 7-Eleven, a convenience store clerk, late at night, like 3 a.m. in the morning, flying by not too far away from the King Road address where four beautiful University of Idaho students were murdered in their beds. So in the middle of the night, the clerk happens to notice a car flying by, but a lady clerk dug through hours and hours and hours of video surveillance from the convenience store and spots the white Elantra. Then a white Elantra is spotted near the King Road address. Then a white Elantra matching that description is found at Pullman, where Brian Koberger was getting his PhD in criminology. So very often, the car is the key, Wendy.
It's absolutely true. And if you think about it, it's why when we were back in high school, we knew what everybody drove. We know what all our neighbors drive. Our vehicles are extensions of ourselves, either personally or professionally. But it is profound evidence when solving a missing person's case. Not only does everybody have some kind of ring camera technology, or at least most people do, attached to their home, their vehicles, their workplace, but we also tend to recognize cars that we either see frequently or that we don't. And that's one of the reasons even being associated with a vehicle is something for the police to start with, because a missing person is a community issue where everybody pulls together, much in the way that you're going to hear that it happens in this case like in every other.
Let me go straight back out to special guest Brian Fitzgibbons joining us, USPA Nationwide Security. Could you explain how a license grabber or a license plate reader, LPR, how does it work and why can we rely on it? Because I've never known it fail.
Yeah, so these are cameras, Nancy, that are capturing either the front or the rear license plate of the vehicle and then storing that data with date, time, location that is easily searchable by investigators. And I think it's important to note here that Baytown PD was, you know, as frustrating as the initial interaction may have been with Ms. Richardson, they were able to quickly sync up in an interagency effort with Houston PD to get all this information to start to track down Flowers.
You know, you're pretty ready to forgive Baytown PD for let me just say, it's a technical legal term, crapping all over the mother when she tried to report her daughter missing. I'm supposed to give them credit for looping in Houston PD and then they do the work. Is that what you just said? Because I'm not going for that.
No, I'm certainly not quick to forgive. And, you know, I'm working directly with Ms. Richardson on this case. So I share her frustrations wholeheartedly. I was just pointing out.
I'm glad they did pick the phone up and ask Houston PD to help, which they did. I've never known an LPR to be wrong ever. I don't necessarily understand all the technology, but I don't need to. I don't need to know how it works. I just need to know it works. So Lauren Conlon, again, LPRs, license plate readers, critical. But my question is, we're missing a link right there. How did either Houston PD or Baytown PD get the tag number for the license plate reader to work?
Kaylee was picked up at the Decker Drive Apartments, and investigators took the surveillance footage from the apartments and just zeroed in on the license plate there. And that's when they realized who the car blew.
Got it. Okay, brilliant. Lauren Conlon, who did that? Baytown PD or Houston PD?
This is Assistant Chief Steve Doris, which I believe is Baytown PD.
Okay, I got to give Baytown a little bit of credit right now because they got that license plate. And because of that, it was fed to a license plate reader. And because of that, the vehicle was found near the apartment complex where Kaylee was last seen. Now, here's a whole nother can of worms to Karen Stark, psychologist joining us. Karen, you heard the friend. She was at her friend's house at the Decker Apartments. That's where she got the ride in the gray sedan. And she went with a guy, moniker, street name, Country. She got in the car with someone she didn't really know that well. Do I have to say Natalie Holloway? Out on her senior trip, and she gets in the car with Jorn Vandersloot and the Calpo brothers. She's never seen alive again. But she had, Karen Stark, the sense that she knew Jorn Vandersloot because he had been hanging around the group, the travel group from Birmingham. So she had had several conversations with him and felt that she knew him well enough to get in the car. She was wrong.
And that's a common problem even here, Nancy, because you need to be very careful when it comes to going anywhere with a stranger. And especially in this day and age, you just never know who the other person's going to be. You get a false sense of, oh, he seems so nice, I know him. But really, don't do it. And that's an important warning for everyone who's listening to this.
Where is Kaylee? We're learning more from the Baytown police. Listen.
Baytown detectives identified a residence where the registered owner of the phone that called Kaylee's mother resided. That person was identified as 55-year-old Kevin Patterson. Detectives discovered evidence linking Kaylee to that residence and learned that while at that residence, she had been assaulted by Mr. Flowers and taken from the residence.
That from our friends at KPRC2 Houston. We're learning a lot, and we're learning that from Baytown Police. They are redeeming themselves. We now know that Baytown detectives ID a residence from which the call was made. And I assume they did that, Brian Fitzgibbon, by pinging the call. Yes, no, because it was a cell phone.
Correct. That is correct, Nancy. They have a tremendous amount of
digital
evidence.
And we know the person that is registered to that residence is 55-year-old Kevin Patterson. So now I'm looking at three people. I've got the guy named Country, a.k.a. Quan Flowers. I've got the person who is registered to the Cash App, his girlfriend, Danielle Owens. And now I've got a guy who allows this call to be made. So now I've got three people involved in this. You were just hearing the Baytown Assistant Chief Steve Doris speaking. So back to Casey Richardson. This is Kaylee's mother. That must be overwhelming to think that it's not just one guy who grabbed Kaylee. Now you've got three people involved in her disappearance.
So supposedly in the background, Kevin kept saying, all right, man, that's enough. That's enough. He's like, no, over and over. I want my freaking money. And he's like, that's enough, man, that's enough. So supposedly, Kevin had enough and didn't want anything else to go down in his house, so he made Kevin leave with Kaylee.
Brian Fitzgibbons, you have been investigating this from the get-go. So, to me, you look out of three people, you look for the weak link, okay? Since Quan Flowers, a.k.a. Country, is the one we think is beating her, he is not going to roll over and confess. You have to go to the girlfriend, or you have to go to the homeowner that got so afraid he kicked them out. Sadly, did not call 911, but that must be where they're getting this information, from the homeowner or the girlfriend.
Correct. And I would say that it's nearly certain that Patterson has given a statement and is cooperating with police here. He was audibly on the phone trying to get the beatings to stop.
You're right, Brian. Listen.
Both Kevin Patterson and Quan Flowers are questioned about Kaylee Goodwin. Flowers' only answer, last time I saw her, she was in one piece. Flowers, who's on probation for a drug offense, is charged with aggravated kidnapping and assault of Kaylee Goodwin. Flowers has a lengthy rap sheet in and out of state and was even charged with murder in South Carolina 20 years ago. Those charges were dropped.
Okay, Brian Fitzgibbons, USPA. You didn't tell me that Flowers, a.k.a. Country, has a rap sheet as long as I-75. When you have a group of suspects, you look for the convicted felon. Tell me about this guy's rap sheet.
Going back as far as 2004 in South Carolina, Flowers was arrested and charged with murder. He's got a long list of violent crimes year after year, including animal cruelty charges in South Carolina as well, armed robbery. And then most recently, right now, he is incarcerated and charged with the murder of 24-year-old Megan Rouse in Houston, Texas.
Okay, wait a minute. Speaking of Megan Rouse, now we have a very grim connection with this guy who we believe is the one beating Kaylee. A similar transaction, listen.
12 days after Kaylee's disappearance, 24-year-old Megan Rouse is found severely beaten and shot 9 times, dumped on Adingnesta, a remote dirt road in South Houston. Rouse last called a friend about an hour before her death, and surveillance footage shows the only car that drove down Adingnesta Road between that call and Megan's death is the same gray sedan driven by Quan Flowers. Shell casings found at the scene are also connected to two other shootings.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Baytown police are extremely concerned for Kaylee's well-being due to Quan Flowers' history of violence and are asking the public for help to bring Kaylee home. Kaylee is 5'5", 120 pounds, with long brown hair and hazel eyes. She was last seen wearing a sky blue sundress with a sunflower pattern, black sandals, and a white hoodie.
To Kaylee's mother, Casey Richardson, joining us, did you ever, in your wildest imagination, think that you would be putting out an APB, all points bulletin, on your daughter, and that she was wearing a blue dress with sunflowers and sandals and her description? I mean, did that ever cross your mind? This must seem like it's an episode of The Twilight Zone.
It is, and I feel like I'm in a movie because the Baytown police put out a thing saying that her last known appearance was in Baytown. Okay, that's what they have out there. That's not true. Her last appearance was at Heaven's House.
I don't understand, Brian Fitzgibbons, how there's so much misinformation out there.
Yeah, it's frustrating, right? Because we know that her last known location was in the vicinity of Irish Hill Drive in Houston, Texas, right? That's where we need to be looking for eyewitnesses.
William Ryans and his adult daughter are watching TV in their living room when they hear 4 gunshots. When they feel safe enough to come out of cover, they find shell casings inside the home. Ryans' daughter later gets a text message taunting her about the shooting, leading her to believe it was retaliation from acquaintance Country. She says about a week before the shooting, Country lured her into his gray sedan, tried to make her take drugs from him, then tried to sexually assault her. She identifies Quan Flowers as country.
There we have our MO, modus operandi, method of operation, and the connections to how this guy is identified as country. That's how we know that Quan Flowers, with a huge rap sheet, why was he out on bond? I don't know what judge, what idiot judge did that, but out on bond, and here we have another would-be kidnap victim. The MO, I understand, Lauren Conlon, is that he lures a young girl into his gray sedan with the promise of, in that case, he tried to get her to take drugs and then tried to rape her. I'm not sure how he lures the person in the car. I think in Kelly's case, he met her, seemed like a good guy, and offered her a ride to where she wanted to go. But now we've got this woman as an MO witness, and we have Megan dead as a similar transaction.
Yes, this is allegedly a very, very dangerous man. And not only that, Nancy, when investigators zeroed in on Country or Quan Flowers, they actually saw a gun, a picture of a gun on his cell phone that matched the shell casings in all of the events, the shooting of the young woman and also Megan Rouse.
Brian Fitzgibbons, we have two believed accomplices, the owner of the home where the call was made, the girlfriend, Danielle Owens, and now Flowers. But when he was asked about Kelly, he gave a very nonchalant answer. She was in one piece last time I saw her. Where do we go from here? I mean, think about it, Brian. A mom gets this call with her daughter being assaulted. We know he tried to rape another victim. We know he shot Megan, another victim. Where do we go from here?
Yeah, and what I will say, Nancy, and we can't share all of this information, but Baytown PD is still executing search warrants as recently as 10 days ago for Kaylee's case. I want to say this so everybody can hear it. This is allegedly one of the more violent episodes of 30, 45 days in Houston history in the last perpetrated by one person. You know, from the shooting at the apartment complex to Megan Rouse and then Kaylee's disappearance. We look at a lot of background reports, Nancy, and this one was jumped off the page as one of the more shocking. And it's absolutely disturbing how badly the court system let Kaylee down and let her mother, Casey, down here. This man should have been behind bars long ago.
I just don't understand. And of course, we can all say woulda, coulda, shoulda, Brian Fitzgibbons, but letting a violent offender out on bond with, you know, a murder charge to his credit. I just don't understand how any judge in his or her right mind could do such a thing. And then come along, Kelly Goodwin, minding her own business, never hurt, wouldn't kill a fly. Sweet, loving, trusting. It reminds me a great deal of Natalie Holloway. No reason to suspect anything evil at all. Had always just worshipped her mom. Just a beautiful girl. Casey, what is your message?
So there's something else that has not been brought up. Within those 30 days, he also shot a man blank seven times in the face with the same gun. And not only that, there's such thing as a clear alert. It was signed. I saw the sticker. Nobody's using the silver alert. And that's the ages between, we have 18 to the senior citizens, okay? And that's whenever you know that there's some distress and they're supposed to put that up, the silver alert. So please tell me why I didn't get a detective for a week and a half after I did this missing report to call me in. A week and that gives him 2 weeks to do whatever he feels with her remains or her body or herself. I don't know. I called Anonymous and they were like, Kaylee, who? Well, do you have a
a number, a crime number, right? And I was like, no, ma'am, I just heard that I need to call this number. And they were like, well, you're going to have to call back during order Monday to Friday business hours and find a detective to talk to.
Here is the correct tip line number, 786-509-7135. Repeat, 786-509-7135. Casey, what is your message to Kelly?
This mama bear has not stopped for you. That's what she called me, mama bear. That's what they all call me. I have not stopped. And baby, if I could have helped you when you called, I would have been there. I would have stopped it. And I'm sorry I couldn't help you. But I'm not stopping. I'm not stopping. You see who I'm talking to right now? Kelly, you see this? Mom has not stopped. And I will not stop.
If you know or think you know anything about the disappearance of Kelly Goodwin, please help us. Tip line 786-509-7135. Repeat, 786-509-7135. Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.